Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, I Will Bear Witness, Volume 2, A Diary of the Nazi Years 1942-1945 by Viktor Klemperer continues one of the most important personal records of life under the Third Reich. A German-Jewish scholar and philologist, Klemperer writes from inside Nazi Germany as the regime tightens its grip, war escalates, and daily existence becomes a relentless test of endurance. This volume covers the final years of the dictatorship, when bombing, shortages, deportations, and fear intensify while official propaganda grows ever more frantic. Klemperer observes events not from the perspective of leaders or soldiers, but from streets, queues, workplaces, and homes where policy becomes lived reality. His diary is both historical testimony and a close study of how language, bureaucracy, and social pressure can corrode moral life. Without relying on hindsight or heroic distance, the book conveys the unstable mixture of terror, habit, rumor, and small practical decisions that shaped survival until the Reich collapsed. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, everyday survival under escalating persecution. A central thread of this volume is the mechanics of staying alive when the state is designed to break you. Klemperer records the practical burdens that accompany persecution restrictions on movement, continual paperwork, precarious employment, shortages, and the constant need to calculate risks. Eni and Rizal all too and many Asias. As the war worsens, the line between ordinary hardship and targeted oppression becomes harder to separate, yet his diary shows how discrimination remains systematic even amid national crisis. He details how small privileges can vanish overnight and how the smallest administrative decision can determine access to food, shelter, or safety. The narrative also demonstrates the psychological strain of living on shifting rules, rumors, and sudden raids, where the future is unclear, but danger is immediate. Klemperer emphasizes the role of improvisation and routine in survival, from finding ways to work and obtain necessities to managing fear while maintaining a sense of self. The diary does not present survival as a single dramatic act, but as a long chain of constrained choices, fragile luck, and endurance in the face of relentless pressure. Secondly, war at home bombing, displacement, and a society under stress. As 1942 to 1945 unfolds, the war increasingly enters civilian life through air raids, destruction, and social dislocation. Klemperer chronicles how bombings reshape the rhythms of cities and the behavior of communities, forcing people into shelters, disrupting work, and creating a landscape of loss and uncertainty. He notes how material scarcity deepens, how infrastructure collapses, and how public morale oscillates between defiance, exhaustion, and quiet despair. This perspective is especially valuable because it is not written from a safe distance. The reader experiences the instability of daily life as conditions deteriorate. The diary shows how wartime pressures can intensify both solidarity and selfishness, as neighbors negotiate shared fear while also competing for scarce resources. Klemperer also highlights how official messaging attempts to maintain control even when reality contradicts it, producing a widening gap between propaganda and lived experience. The result is an intimate portrait of a society fraying at the edges, where the sounds of the war and the breakdown of normal systems create a constant background of danger that affects every decision. Thirdly, bureaucracy and the machinery of exclusion. This volume underscores how persecution operates through forms, decrees, inspections, and routine administrative actions that make injustice feel normal. Klemperer captures the oppressive power of regulations that dictate where one may live, what one may buy, and how one must present oneself in public. He shows that terror is not only delivered through dramatic violence, but also through the steady accumulation of petty humiliations and barriers that narrow a person's life. The diary reveals how institutions and officials can participate in cruelty by treating discrimination as procedure rather than as choice. By tracking the constant interactions with offices and rules, Klemperer makes visible the infrastructure of oppression that many histories summarize too quickly. He also illustrates how uncertainty itself becomes a weapon, with shifting policies and inconsistent enforcement keeping people off balance and isolated. The reader learns how survival can hinge on understanding the system's logic, finding small loopholes, and anticipating the next restriction. This topic makes the diary a case study in how modern states can weaponize paperwork, classification, and compliance to strip targeted groups of rights while preserving an appearance of order. Fourthly, language, propaganda, and the shaping of thought. Klemperer is widely associated with the study of Nazi language, and this diary continues to show how words shape perception and behavior. He pays attention to slogans, euphemisms, and the repetitive public vocabulary that turns violence into abstraction and recasts aggression as duty. The diary demonstrates how propaganda functions not only through speeches and newspapers, but also through everyday phrases that seep into conversations, workplaces, and private attitudes. By noting how people repeat official terms, even skeptically, Klemperer highlights how linguistic habits can narrow what feels sayable or thinkable. He also observes how fear and conformity influence speech, prompting coded talk, silence, or cautious half-statements. The contrast between public language and private reality becomes sharper as the war goes badly, revealing how ideological language tries to cover up defeat and moral collapse. For readers, this topic offers a practical lesson in media literacy and political psychology. When a regime controls vocabulary, it pressures citizens to accept its framing of events. The diary thus becomes not only historical evidence but also a warning about how manipulated language can normalize cruelty and suppress critical thought. Lastly, moral choices, human relationships, and the collapse of the regime, beyond documenting oppression, Klemperer records the shifting behavior of individuals around him, revealing how moral life changes under extreme conditions. He observes moments of kindness, avoidance, opportunism, and cruelty, often in ambiguous forms that resist simple judgment. The diary explores how relationships are strained by fear and surveillance, and how social roles and identities can be reshaped by political pressure. As the regime nears its end, Klemperer depicts the confusion of collapsing authority, the instability of rumors, and the sudden transformations in public posture as people sense the coming defeat. This period also raises difficult questions about responsibility and complicity, what it means to go along, to look away, to profit, or to help when the cost of dissent is high. Klemperer's attention to small interactions provides a granular view of how societies adapt to repression, sometimes by numbing themselves, sometimes by clinging to decency. The end of the war does not arrive as a neat moral resolution, and the diary conveys the complex aftermath of survival, including exhaustion, skepticism, and the challenge of interpreting what has happened while still living inside its consequences. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want an on-the-ground account of the Third Reich's final years, including students of modern European history, Holocaust studies, political science, and anyone interested in how authoritarian systems affect ordinary life. It is also valuable for readers drawn to diaries and eyewitness testimony, because Klemperer documents not just headline events but the lived texture of fear, scarcity, and constant adaptation. The benefit to a reader's life lies in the clarity it provides about how oppression is sustained through language, routine compliance, bureaucratic barriers, and social pressure that slowly reshapes what people accept as normal. That understanding strengthens critical thinking about propaganda, discrimination, and the fragility of civic norms in any era. Compared with many books on the period that rely on retrospective synthesis or focus primarily on leaders and battles, Klemperer offers immediacy and moral complexity, showing how history is experienced day by day. The combination of intellectual observation and personal vulnerability makes the volume worth buying as both a historical document and a lasting guide to recognizing how cruelty can become systematized and socially tolerated. If you would like to support Viktor Klemperer, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.